Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I get started today, let's talk a little bit about what we see in our readings. The church here is set up so that we have readings from each parts of the Bible on that day. We call that a pericope in Greek. Okay, it just means the parts we're going to read, because pericope, the word part, is in there. Okay, so as we do this, it's already supposedly put together so that we can pick up what the subject is for that day. But then again, too, sometimes there's more than one subject that's in there. You got to decide what you're going to do. And so I've been really thinking about the last days, because we have so much turmoil in the world right now. So I think it's important we look at that. But also, it has to do with how people treat one another. And this is a... it's not an editorial, it's a prayer type thing that was written by a pastor by the name of Jeffrey Green. And he wrote this yesterday. And as I was doing research, I ran across this, and I thought it was tremendous. This comes from Isaiah and Matthew. "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you by saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" That's Matthew 15, verse 7 to 9. Our hearts are focused upon our own desires. We want what we want. The truth is, in our sinfulness, we do not know what it is that we truly want. We create doctrines to elevate the self rather than the truth. Receive with humility the truth that Jesus alone is Lord of Lords. We have before us true life, and that life is following the Lord wherever he may lead us. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. And he's got a little bit longer prayer here. Let us pray. Lord, I like the idea of salvation, but I do not like the reality of it. You have redeemed me and placed me on the path of following you in this world of suffering. Guide me to live according to the faith that you called me to, so that I may not play the games this world has invented, but live into the life you give. You have called me to become like you, only you know what that really means. Lord Jesus, in the example you have given me and with the words you have spoken, guide me this day to live truthfully. Help me to see where I play games with you and others. By your Holy Spirit, guide me in my thoughts, words, and deeds to live according to your commandments. Lead me to know that in you alone is there hope for life, meaning, and life eternal. Amen. This was good. My sermon today is going to deal with that. And if you notice, it is, are you ready? I'm going to go back to Pastor Don, because you say this all the time. When he was a pastor and coming on Sunday, he said he hoped that the Lord would come and take him so he didn't have to preach that Sunday. Sort of flippant, but it's true though, isn't it? If the Lord said today is it, and all of a sudden we started going up the air to meet him in the sky, which what the Bible says is going to happen, you know, he's going to get the sheep and the lambs away from the riffraff, and that's going to come into the day of judgment. So are we ready? Well, as Christians, yeah, we're ready. But are we prepared? There's the hard question. We know that to get eternal life, what has to happen? And then be born anew. As I've talked to you before, I've told you the story of my Aunt Lizzie. But, you two haven't heard this. Let me do it just real quick. My Aunt Lizzie lived in Rochester, Minnesota, and she was farming 125 acres, or 150 acres, at 98 in 8 months. And she was out cutting hay on the tractor, and she was on one of the hills, rocket come out, tractor overturned on her, broke her up. So she's in the hospital. Her daughter, Lottie, who is 77, calls us. My mom was the oldest in our part of the family, so we usually got the phone call. And Lottie said, Mom got broken up in an accident. She's not going to make it through the night. And I said, okay, we'll get in the car and go, because it's about a 6.5 hour drive to Rochester. And I heard Aunt Lizzie in the back, and she's from Russia. She talking with the gravelly voice, Russian accent. She said, let me talk with him. So she took her the phone, gave it to her, and she said, don't come. Well, Aunt Lizzie, they said you're going to die. Yeah, isn't it great? You know, just to make a long story short, she had outlived her husband, all of her kids except one, all of her friends had a great life, and she was ready to go be with Jesus. Love ya, and hung up the phone. Now, this is my grandfather's older sister. And she had to be, well, let's see, I was in college, so this is 70, 71. And she was almost 100 then. So 1872, you know. That means that she was an adult during the war with Spain in 1898. You know, you stop and think about that, putting things in perspective. She had a great life, long life. Loved to farm, and I think, you know, we had asked her one time, why don't you just give up the farm? And she said, I got the reason, get out of bed in the morning. And I think, you know, that kind of stuff is good. But she was ready. Are we ready? Death is graduation day. Well, you know, I've said that before in here, but what do I mean by that? What is eternal life? It's a new beginning, a new start in heaven with Jesus, right? So if there's a new start and a new beginning, there has to be an ending to something that came before. Make sense? All right, so if it's got to end, how does it end? We go toes up. Ouch. But the thing is, if we've got eternal life facing us, is it that bad? When I was at the VA hospital, I sat with a lot of people who made that transition from this life to the next life. That's why I say it's graduation day. You get to go on, okay? And I don't know how many people I was with that when they died reached out and smiled with open eyes. Even if they couldn't talk anymore, they did that. Well, what do they see that I don't? Well, I think they're being welcomed into heaven. You know, and I've read all that stuff about the brain firing synapses and all this stuff. I don't believe that. I believe that when you die, that white tunnel is leading you into heaven. And I've talked to you about Ray Moody, the doctor, emergency room doctor, that wrote a series of books called Life After Life, which, as people had these near-death experiences, NDEs, he kept track of them. And it was interesting because he was not a Christian to begin with, but became a believer afterwards. So if that's the case, we know what's coming. So let's go back. Are we ready? Yeah, Dottie's sitting here going, Dottie, how do you really feel? Don't hold back. You know. But it's, you know, all of us, I mean, it's a question, isn't it? Are we ready? And really, we can only answer that answer for each one of us. Make sense? And it's when you have things that happen, like Ellie with her cancer. You start thinking about stuff like that, don't you? Do you want to? No. Do you have to? Yes. Yeah, you're finally a grandmother. You don't want to miss that. Yeah. But even though there are good things here, there's better things up there. And you know what is great? If something happens, you do go up there, you're going to see him again. I believe that wholeheartedly. When I was at home in Omaha, I always had a cat. And I believe sometimes cats live in this world and in the next world at the same time. My cat, all of a sudden, started purring and really happy, staring at the wall in my bedroom. And I'm saying, his name was Spy. I said, Spy, what's going on? Oh, and he was just excited. You know how a dog will spin? This cat was spinning like that. And he was talking and, you know, just excited. He saw something there I didn't. So what did he see? Well, I have a feeling that, you know, our relatives come back and visit at times. Bible says they do. You know, and if that's the case, and he sees them, there's something there I don't know about. And I take that as a real blessing. And that's what we have to look forward to. My friends, we are ready because we're Christians. We're sitting here because we're preparing for that. And starting next week, we will start our 4 weeks of Advent, which is where we celebrate not only the second coming, but the original coming of the birth of Jesus at the same time. And Advent is important because we put up our Advent wreath and we celebrate peace, joy, hope, and love for those 4 weeks. The only thing is that we lost our Advent wreath. I've got the candles for it, but the new wreath hasn't come in yet. So we might just have candles and candle up there to start with. But we got them, okay? So we will be doing that, and I'll do that. So today, I thought today was the start of the new year. It's next week. I apologize. So next week, we are going to do our pledges to our Lord. If you've never been part of that, I hand out 3x5 cards, an envelope, and you put on there, in terms of time, talent, and tithe, what you're going to do for the Lord this year. Okay? We seal the envelope, we take a pin, we put it on the cross, and it sits there. Nobody pulls it down and reads it. Then, on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, we take those along with some of the palm branches, burn them, and those become our ashes for Ash Wednesday. So it's your pledge to God is what our ashes come from. You know, I've been in churches that you had to turn in a pledge card to the church and they would make up a budget knowing how much you're pledging. It's none of our business. That's your business with God. Okay? So as we get close to next week, do some thinking about that. How are you going to serve God and let him know that you're happy about being prepared and coming to him? And may, being prepared, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.